This morning, I started thinking about I think it was an article or something I saw one time where they said that the fastest way to multiply your income or to increase your income is by changing jobs, right? And immediately that came side by side with another thing, which is loyalty, right? So yes, changing jobs, I can't even deny it, right? Changing jobs is like the fastest way. It's the fastest way to increase your income, to multiply your income, right? But where does, you know, loyalty come into the mix? Because somebody wants to increase their income very fast, then it means that you are not going to be loyal to anybody but yourself. That's what it looks like, but I think I want to disagree with that thought. Now this is just me thinking, right? So follow me closely. If you are doing a job and you're doing it very well, and you are in the process being loyal to yourself, you know, it means that you're also being loyal to the company, because you're doing what you're being paid to do. You're doing what you're being paid to do. I think founders and entrepreneurs feel like your loyalty, or the best show of loyalty to a company, is when you stay there for donkey years and you don't want to go, which I think is wrong. Okay, I think it's actually wrong, because I mean, first of all, it's a professional relationship, right? It's not family. It's a professional relationship. The only reason why you hired me is because you wanted me to do some work for you, which I'm capable of doing, and so I'm delivering that value. But if it gets to a point where I feel like I've grown, I've developed to a point where you cannot pay me what is commensurate with my effort, what is commensurate with my output, and I move to, you know, a company or a brand that is able to do that for me, I don't think it's being disloyal to you. Why? Because, you know, staying in a place that is not paying you what you feel is your worth, what's going to happen very soon is you're going to be dissatisfied, right? And you're going to start dropping balls, and you're going to start you know, producing less and less. And if you decide to juggle, you know, two different jobs at that point in time, your productivity at the first place is going to drop. So at the end of the day, to be as if you are cheating the company. So I think for me right here, I just want to create that distinction between, you know, this whole loyalty thing where founders and entrepreneurs think that, oh, and this person did not even stay long here, you're not loyal to the company, you're not loyal to the vision. I'm sorry, we're loyal to the vision. Like, yes, I'm speaking in terms of, you know, workers now. Yes, we're loyal to your vision, right? But if your vision is not really paying the bills as it ought to, the loyalty will not last that long. One, two, we're even still being loyal to you by giving you enough respect to leave your company, right? So that's it, so that we don't start poisoning the well, so that we don't start, you know, giving you less than you are paying for. Okay, and that's on one hand. Now it brings me to the other part of founders who wouldn't hire people who stay for short terms in a company. I was reading a Twitter thread where I've forgotten the company name, but he kind of hires people in Africa, I think in Nigeria specifically, but he's not a Nigerian. And he was talking about the fact that when he goes through people's CVs and he sees that you've worked in a place for a very short time and it's like a trend, he wouldn't hire you. And in my mind, it brings two things. Yes, I understand where it's coming from, definitely. I mean, you understand where it's coming from, because in your head you're thinking, if I hire this person, that means this person will stay long, employee turnover is going to be high, so at the end of the day I'm going to have to start this whole hiring process all over again, and I don't want to do that. So I would rather hire somebody that has a track record of staying at a company for a longer time. It makes sense. It makes perfect sense. You understand what I'm saying? However, I feel like, you know, giving people a chance, like having real conversations with them, would also help. If you just look at a CV and you don't allow the person to explain, you know, why the person didn't stay there for so long. I'll give you a practical example. Now, I worked, the first job I ever did, I worked there for 18 months. Right, I worked at a company for 18 months, and after 18 months, I knew that, okay, I didn't want to be stuck in administration. I wanted to go into the creative space. I wanted to write. All right, so I resigned and I moved out. And within a month, I got another job, a writing job that was paying me about double what I was earning before. I didn't know I was going to earn so much within such a short time, but I got paid that. Now, that time I worked with this new company for 6 weeks. What happened? The company crumbled. The founder of the company and the person who was sponsoring the company and all that, they had a fallout, and the company crumbled. I want to give a point here. If you can be making judgments on the employees, that means we who are also looking for jobs should be making judgments on the companies and say, we don't want to work for startups, we don't want to work for companies that are new, off the ground, because of our job security. There's no security. You understand? Because I worked for this company for 6 weeks. I got paid. Of course, they paid us, you know, for the 6 weeks. They didn't just pay for a month's salary. They paid for the whole 6 weeks. I don't know how they did the division, but they did. And it felt bad. I know of a colleague that cried on the way home. A guy, he cried on the way home. And so when you think of, you know, things like this, 18 months, I switched and I got to a place. I worked for 6 weeks. And then after that, I started doing a freelance job. I was working with somebody, writing content. And then I think about 2-3 months later, I got to work with another company. I worked there for two, three months before the founder had an epiphany that she no longer wanted to do. She thought she wanted to do before. I don't know if that sounds understandable to you. Up till now, I still don't understand it, so that's why it's hard for me to explain. But she no longer wanted to do what we were doing, right? And so she said she's sorry. This would be our last month there, and so that's how that one ended as well, right? And so I left there and I continued working freelance, right? And after that, you know, I got another job where I worked for another 2 years. Right, I worked for 2 years at the new place where I worked, and when I don't want to go into the details of that 2 years, but I just, my point in this whole mix is to let you know that sometimes there are nuances. It's not as if the person did not want to stay. It's the circumstance, sometimes the company's fault. So if you don't have the conversation with these people, you are never going to know. You will never know. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it's a fixed contract. You know, you work for a year. Sometimes the economic downturn, the company may want you to work, but when it gets to a year and the company says, so we're trying to reevaluate some things, and so we are moving in a different direction, and we're not, you know, we would have to lay you all off. At that point, what do you do? But you are just looking at the CV, and maybe some unlucky person has been in a company that crumbled in 6 weeks, has been in another company that crumbled in 1 year, another company that crumbled, or they got laid off in 3 months, and then you think that this person has itching feet and cannot stay in one particular company for a long time, and so because of that you make a judgment call and say, nope, this person is unhireable. It doesn't make sense. You know, it doesn't make sense. I feel like the difference between a human being and a robot is that a human being can really have conversations and understand nuances, whereas a robot will just look at the CV and say, nope. But you as a human being should actually engage in conversations. I get that sometimes you have hundreds and thousands of CVs to go through, but for the few ones that you can have conversations with, have conversations and understand what those gaps are, right? So, so I just thought I should share these thoughts for employees who want to increase their salary quick. Yeah, changing jobs, it actually does help. It actually does help. It does. It does help to increase your salary. Although sometimes you fall into unfortunate traps whereby you work in the company after they've increased your salary. Say you were working at somewhere and increased your salary was say 150,000, and you worked in another company that increased your salary by 100,000, so you are now earning 250,000. And then after some months, after you've invested so much in the company, because yeah, employers think they're the only ones that invest so much in employees, of which sometimes they don't even invest, they don't even train you. You do all your training, you learn all the things you want to learn by yourself, and then one employer tomorrow comes and says, I invested so much in you. They never paid for any paid course, they never give you the resources, but they say they invested. But that's aside. So go forward to say the company is paying you 250,000, and then they come and tell you one funny story about how that you need to take a pay cut, you know, and the cuts that they are taking is that 100,000 that you thought you had made extra from previous place where you're working. You know, it's these things happen, right? So you have to be ready for some of these nuances. So no, I feel like, you know, employees, be picky about where you're going to. Be really picky about where you're going to. During the whole interview period, be picky. It's not only employers and HR teams that have, you know, that leverage to pick who they want to work for them. You also have the leverage to pick where you want to work. You should be able to pick. You should be able to sense from the whole interview if that place is a place where I currently work, for instance. When we're having the whole gist and conversation, I mean, I got a glimpse of the company's culture, checked them out online, I understood the company's culture, and I knew, okay, this is the kind of place where I want to work. I mean, when you see a company that people are celebrating 12 years work anniversary, 8 years work anniversary, you know, 18 years work anniversary, you know, that's a place that has longevity, right? You know, that's the kind of place where you can actually grow. You know, not a company that, you know, the highest work anniversary you are seeing is a year or 2 years. Then, you know, there's probably something wrong here. Even if it's only the HR and maybe the CTO and the CMO or the CEO that are celebrating, you know, long-term work history or work anniversaries in the company, and you don't have other, I'd like to call them foot soldiers. So maybe like a designer, or maybe content marketer here, or maybe the customer support team, you know, head of support, you know, customer success team. If you don't see people in those places and it's only the HR, please be very wary, because I mean, HR gets to pick and choose, right? HR gets to hire and fire. So if they're celebrating a long anniversary, it doesn't really make any difference. That's my thinking, Chai. You can prove me wrong, but that's my thinking anyway. Right, so yeah, those are my thoughts about work today. I just thought to put this down, just put these thoughts out there. All right, thank you for listening. I remain supreme. If you have anything to add, or you don't agree with me on some points, just of course let me know. I'm always open to new ideas and conversations. And until next time, have a great day ahead. Bye.